This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTCAL.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything, that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these moments. Their stories are full of candor and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I got this feeling that I've been through before. I got this feeling that I've been through before.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to We Know's Parenting. I'm Peter McNerney.
I'm Beth Newell. Thanks for coming out.
Woo, you're real people.
Keep pounding applauding us. That's a real phrase.
People are applauding us. We applaud you.
Give us a round of applause if you're a parent. Yeah.
Wow. If you're not a parent, give us a whoop.
Yeah.
Are non-parents winning?
I think non-parents are winning here.
All right. Well, I want a parent. If your parent is the other half of your parenting,
what are you asking? By round of applause, if the other half of you is...
At home watching a child.
Okay.
Yeah! Did you have to fight over it? Or they were like, where are you going? What are you doing? We don't care. I'm not going to Brooklyn.
Yeah.
We pretty much said that this morning. Do you know how far away this is from where we live? Yeah. This might as well be Philly. Like,
they know. It's.
Anyway, welcome to the show. If you've listened, you know this is the part where we talk to each other late at night when nobody's watching us and we really are just trying to get to sleep.
It's where we compare notes on the week that we haven't discussed because we've both been running in different directions.
Yeah, so we're going to do that right now, very awkwardly with people watching us. We have some very, very special guests that are going to come out, but real quick, what the hell happened?
Peter, how was your week with our children?
Okay, first of all, our children aren't here.
We're out. I'll tell you guys, we used to live here like normal people in the city.
Yeah, no, and like then, normal people who live in a city.
And then we got pregnant, and then we moved to the suburbs. And
you give me so much shit whenever I say we got pregnant. Okay, I'm sorry.
Did you get pregnant?
No, but so I just want to clarify the rules. You're allowed to say
I'm allowed to say whatever I want about being pregnant.
That's fair.
So we left the city, and then so today we were riding the train here together, and it was like I was like, I feel like I'm 5 years younger. I'm on a date with my boyfriend. What's happening? Like, it was very
my young,
weird.
Youthful, bald boyfriend.
Who's this guy? I was like, what's going on?
Can we talk about on the way here? So we met some friends for some drinks before our little tech rehearsal, and we're going to go to this restaurant. We ran on the corner, and we accidentally decided to have dinner across the street from our very first date.
Our first date. We should tell people that our first date was after a one-night stand we had with each other.
Yeah, baby!
That
I did not initiate.
So it was a guilt-induced first date when Peter asked me out of guilt.
Beth took me home, and we slept together. And I was like, this is my first one-night stand. This is it. I'm an adult.
He was like, I feel horrible about this. I have to ask this woman on a date to dinner.
I really did. I was like, I don't know how that went. I have to do the honorable thing and buy you a burrito.
Yeah, and that, sadly, that restaurant has been turned into a different restaurant.
Sadly, it turned into a much nicer restaurant. And that's where we were today.
Yeah.
But Beth, this week, the other thing, we'll make this brief, is you were out of town all week.
Yes.
So I was single parent. Do you want to know how I did?
Well, first, I just want to say that's offensive to single parents when people watch their kids for 3 days and say I was a single parent.
It was 7 days. Anyway, it really took the wind out of my sails.
Sorry. Anyway, you were a single parent.
Yeah, I crushed it.
You knew the whole single parent experience, and you were living it. And
anyway, I did really well, and I'm proud of myself.
No, you did great. And I came home after a week of being out of town to a clean house, a fully cooked dinner. It was magical. And
I knew this show was happening.
And it was, that's true. And you had dyed eggs with our children in advance of Easter. Everything was spick and span. And then
this is my dream come true right now.
We
compliments in front of people.
We ran into our neighbor who was like, "Oh, you survived!" And I was like, we were both kind of like, "Well, yeah, he had it under control. He watches our kids all the time. He's their dad." And our neighbor
was
like,
"I could never handle it."
He was like, "I could barely handle one of my kids." Like he was just like. He's like,
can we talk about, this is our neighbor. None of our neighbors listen to this show, although I live in fear that they will someday.
We hope they don't.
This guy's very nice.
He's very nice.
If you listen to the show, you know sometimes I have a problem not listening, and I interrupt. But this man never stops talking. I always walk by and he goes, "Hey, Peter, how are you? Looking great?" Oh, he's getting real big. It's going to be fun here with that like Yankees fan. Of course, that's how I always talk. All right, Peter, I'll see you later. I have not said one word. He was very impressed with my parenting.
Yeah. Because he was like, "Guys don't parent. What are you doing?"
Can we talk about Easter real quick?
Yeah, so Easter happened.
So here's what we did for Easter. We pretended to be asleep for as long as we could while our kids ate a tremendous amount of chocolate.
Yeah, well, I woke up to see our kid find the Easter basket. I was like, "Oh, that's cute." And then I went back to bed. And then...
And we slept till 9 as they ate a pound of chocolate.
We slept very late while our kids ate tons of sugar. And then we...
And then they went insane and were very terrible.
And also, somehow, on Easter morning, we had no coffee in the house. So I woke up like a zombie, staring... And our kids are so hyper.
I didn't do perfect the week you were
gone. And I was like, "What is happening? I have to get out of here. I need coffee. What?" So got coffee... Did an Easter egg hunt and had them eat real hard-boiled eggs.
They each had 5 full hard-boiled eggs.
Which we were like, good, yes, not sugar.
Soak
keep
up
eating.
The sugar.
It was great.
Ugh.
We are good parents, and that's why we have a parenting podcast.
Great. That's our week in review. Now, ladies and gentlemen, enough of us. We'd like to get the show rolling by introducing our first guest. Beth, I think that's your point
yes.
on our little script we made.
Okay, so from the Stuff You Should Know podcast and the Movie Crush podcast, you know him, Chuck Bryant.
Hey! That's your stool. We didn't discuss it, but that's your stool. Chuck,
you look disappointed in our intro.
No. Well, I was looking at my notes, and yeah, that's your stool. Yep, that's my cue.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's literally all we told you.
Hi, everyone.
Hey.
How's
okay.
it going?
It's going great.
So,
your posture is intimidating.
Thank you. I don't know how to sit on a stool.
Like, I don't know how to do
anything.
Slouch?
So, Chuck, on a scale of 1 to 10, how tired are you right now?
Well, my wife and I spent all day walking around the Botanical Gardens and the Brooklyn Museum, which was wonderful. So that was a little tiring, but we didn't have our daughter, so I'm so energized.
That's great.
So you're a one. There's no child around.
It was really great. There were couples everywhere with their kids, and it was so lovely, and I'm so thankful we weren't one of them. It was so
amazing.
Great to not have her here.
That's great.
Isn't that the best to watch someone else's child freak out?
Yes. We miss her like crazy, too. You know that whole thing.
Yeah, you totally miss her.
Yeah.
Okay, next question. Do you love your kid?
A lot.
Okay.
Okay.
That could have gone.
I believed it when you said it.
I believe it too. I mean, honestly, it would be real weird if you said anything else.
Yes.
Besides that.
But she's adopted, so I think we can return her. I'm not sure how
that
works.
Did you read the fine print?
I think it depends on the state.
Has that come up? So you live in Atlanta.
That's right.
So what's the return policy in Atlanta?
We're kind of screwed.
In Atlanta, the birth mom could come at any time and just snatch her away.
That is a fear. Well, yeah. Not anymore. But no. Yeah, it's all. There's no easy way to get a baby, guys. There really is no easy way.
Tell us how. So tell us a little bit about that experience. You've adopted a child, and she is how old now?
She'll be 4 in July, so 3 and change. And, you know, she's right in the middle of your kids.
That's right.
Which is kind of exciting, I think.
By the way, we're going to their lake house next month.
Yeah, like we're going to get all the kids together.
We're going
to
throw the kids in a pile and watch what happens.
And Ruby's right in the middle of both of them, so yeah. I'm very curious. We'll see how that turns out.
See if she can hang.
Alliances will be formed. It'll be very Game of Thronesy.
Maven will pit everyone against each other in some way.
That's fine.
So, Chuck, this is a real random question. Was the biggest surprise becoming a parent? Where you're like, no one told me about this.
What was the biggest surprise?
It's a dumb question, but I'm asking it anyway.
Merconium.
Oh my gosh. I haven't heard that in 3 years.
Yeah, I didn't know about that stuff.
Meconium, yeah.
Meconium?
Yes.
No, meconium is an element.
Yeah, meconium, M-E-C.
Don Meconium?
I know this.
What? Is that a mob boss?
It's the first poop, right?
The first poop,
the black tar.
The black poop. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, our daughter did not poop, so we adopted her in another state, and then you have to wait around for the courts to sign off for this stuff, so there's... Like, you have the kid, but it's, like, still not final. So it's like, oh, boy, this could all go south.
So, like, don't get attached?
Well, sort of, but, like, what do you... Like, it's like adopting a puppy. Like, don't get too used to this puppy.
Yeah,
you
know, just, this adorable, beautiful baby.
So she didn't... long story short, she did not poop in this state. And we were just kind of like, great, maybe we got one of the ones that doesn't do that. This is awesome.
That's like, this is probably great.
And then we started to wonder, like, she probably should be by now. And we went on the plane and then flew back. And then literally, like, within hours of being in her permanent home, poop just started going everywhere.
Exploding.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah.
This is quite a few days later. Wow. So, yeah, that was a surprise to me.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? That's great. I think we're gonna introduce our second guest. Because now I can picture
on that note, that makes me think of our next guest.
Speaking of poop coming out of everywhere. Ladies and gentlemen, from The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, please welcome to the stage, Abby Crutchfield!
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. Second stool!
Lovely to be here. Thanks, everybody.
Oh God. Okay, Abby, tell us, on a how tired are you on a scale from 10 to 20?
I operate on 5 hours of sleep pretty regularly.
Wow.
And I'm okay with it.
What?
I am. I feel good. Although my kid will sleep through the night, but I want that extra buffer of time for myself. So I'll get up early, have coffee made the night before so that it brews in the morning.
I cannot relate
to this.
You're
like one of those on top of it moms that everyone
trying.
Hates.
No, 15 months in, yes.
See, Beth?
14 months in.
That's
no.
How it works. Coffee the night before.
Yeah,
well, we are sleeping to the last possible second.
Well, I mean, your daughter's younger. When she gets older, you'll give her a bunch of candy and then go back to sleep.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Validate us.
Different bribes. Bribes are not off the table, but so far I don't need them.
Yeah, but you have, I think, the youngest child of all of us.
The youngest
here.
Child.
15 months old, a daughter.
She cool?
Yeah. I still call her a year old plus change. Like, I feel like she's still a year, but she's smack dab in toddlerdom now.
It's so funny because if you have kids of a certain age, you understand like 15 months. Oh, yeah, 15 months. Got that.
Right. It's
But I've completely forgotten what that means. And that was about 15 months ago.
You're like, stop that.
It means 15 months is like, hide your keys, hide your wife. Like, it's.
Right. She 2 weeks ago learned how to walk. So it was just this long process of she might be walking soon to now she takes off and climbs and grabs things.
Yeah.
And only the things I don't want her to touch. Like, she'll turn the knob volume all the way up.
Yeah.
Or reach for, you know, the chemical in the room. There's plenty of liquids around, but whatever's
that's
toxic,
how she gets
that's
mommy's
what she
attention. Yeah. This must be a loving thing because I get attention.
Well, that's the age where they're constantly grabbing for things. So if you're a bad parent like us,
Google.
You reach on a high shelf and find something they've never seen before. Mm-hmm. And you're like, here, how about this for 5 minutes?
Like
and
a then, distraction.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's like, great.
Look at this. I'm trying to boil pasta or something.
We've just taught our kids to climb.
We did?
You taught?
Yeah, we show them that there's cool stuff up high. And that's because, oh,
oh
well,
right,
that's where
exactly.
All the stuff
every
is.
Time you reach,
and the ladder
that's...
in the corner.
Brynn can get up there. It's yeah. scary.
Everything's getting higher, and they're just becoming better and better climbers.
That's awesome.
You gotta get a loft.
They're
guys.
Observant.
Put that's
that
shit thing. Like 30 feet up.
So, how 15 months? Mm-hmm. How's the sleeping going comparatively to where you've come from?
I don't know if Chuck mentioned, he said behind stage that his daughter slept well from the beginning, and mine did too. So we sleep trained at 3 months. Hey. Cheers. I don't know what the secret is. She was not colicky. She sleep trained at 3 months, and she has been sleeping through the night pretty much since 5 months on. So
if you can relate to that, go woo.
Okay. Congratulations, parents. And yeah, everybody else has my empathy because... I mean, if I ever have another kid, I'll figure out what it is like. You can't have two great ones in a row, can you?
You can't have two in a row?
It's just dumb luck.
Only if you do it accidentally.
I'm worried that you have, like, good genes for someone who can wake up early and you've given them to your
child. That's what's happened.
Who sleeps soundly. Anyway, I don't
know. It's almost like that has something to do with it, who we are as people.
It's almost like we're bad and you're good. Is what I'm trying to
I didn't want to say it.
Speaking of good, let's introduce our third guest, shall we?
Okay, so our next guest, you know her as the host of NPR's Ask Me Another. Her name is Woo. Ophira Eisenberg.
Woo. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, third stool, third stool.
Hi, third stool. Hi.
Thank you for coming on. Ophira, how tired are you? Scale of 50 to 106.
I am super tired.
Yeah.
There we go. Today.
Especially today, I'm very, very tired.
Because, why?
Well, I flew in from... Because I'm trying to do all the things at the same time.
Yeah.
So I took a job out of town, but I wanted to come home and see my kid and do a show. So I took a flight at 6 a.m., which means waking up at 4 a.m. But when you're on the West Coast, you're like, guess what? I don't go to sleep anymore anyways. Ha, 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 because the time change.
Yeah. Don't try to make
so
it make sense.
So even when there's no children, I will never sleep. Life is fun on a plane. Yeah. Yay. Okay.
So you've got it all figured out.
Yeah, I'm great.
The surest way to have career opportunities that take you out of town is to have a kid, and then you'll just have to fly all over the place, right?
Oh, yeah, I never booked anything until my life depended on it.
Yeah, right.
Two children.
Nothing motivates you like needing to keep other people alive.
Yeah, it really, something really happens.
And Ophira, your kid, is he a good person?
Yeah, he's 3 and a half. Yeah. He's a person. He's a human. Like, he has a personality, and it has nothing to do with me.
Wow, yeah.
Nothing to
do
with
me. Oh, you sense
me.
Some differences.
Well,
taste,
I mean,
it,
you know, there was actually, I feel like it was around 2 and a half, I was like, oh, you're a person. Like, you're your own person. You do not comply. You have your own thoughts.
Yeah.
You have your own desires, and I am
And
never
it's a real problem.
And it is a problem.
Yeah.
Right?
That's
it's
so
not
unfair.
Yeah, it's not like anyways, I was going to say it's not like a dog, which I get that. But cuz I have
it's
a
not,
dog.
Not
However,
like a dog. Yeah.
I do know someone right now who is nap training their dog.
No.
Wow. That's new.
I was like, what do you
Don't dogs just I mean, I know this cuz I have dogs. They always sleep.
They always sleep.
So. Yeah, there's no training necessary. When my daughter was teething, I kept calling her stuff chew toys. And I would use a lot of dog terminology because I had dogs first.
I would also call it chew toys.
Yeah. Oh, we did the same thing.
Yeah.
We said vet for a while.
It is weird.
And
yeah.
also,
yeah.
to that note, like, we would talk to our son Lucas like a dog in the beginning. We were like, good Lucas.
Good boy.
Yeah, we were like, oh, that's probably not the way you talk to a child.
And then 2 and a half years in, you were like, oh, he has a human personality.
He's a human person. Yeah.
This dog is a boy.
That's why it came as a surprise.
Why aren't his ears growing?
That's why he hasn't grown any fur. Okay, so we wanted to ask you guys some general questions for the group.
Yeah,
We want to ask you, so what parenting move do you guys perform regularly that you feel the most judged for?
Oh, that was a heavy one right off the bat. Or do you?
Make us feel better about our choices.
How are you fucking it
I
up?
I think I know mine
okay,
right
go
away
for
because
it.
My husband criticizes it. When she acts up, I try to empathize and listen to her feelings, and she can't even talk yet. So
yeah.
So I'll be like, that's really frustrating when you want my attention, but I'm looking at my phone, isn't it? And that's a kid need. But if she's doing something you're not supposed to do, like I've told her, do not give the dogs food or do not put food in your hair. And then she does it after I've said no. I say, it's really fun to put food in your hair, isn't it? I just think I'm Mr. Rogers or something. And my husband's like, why are you raising her to be horrible?
But you also come home every evening and change it into your sneakers and put on your cardigan
sweater. I do. I feed the fish. So I feel like if I do that in public, if I get caught on the subway talking to her that way and not just straight up disciplining her in a firm but stern but loving way, I think someone's going to call me out on it. Be like, girl,
I've done
watch
that.
Out.
I try to talk it out and they're just like in toddler rage and they're like,
Well, it's as they get older, I'm like, oh, we're talking. You understand more. And that's not true.
all
they understand is that they have your attention and they're winning. Yeah. And so I've just learned to go, one explanation, now you're a ghost.
Yeah.
And it's the only thing that works sometimes, 10% of the time.
I think I'm so worried and about people looking at me anyways that when...
I relate.
When my son like throws a fit, he's very loud. He's a really loud kid. And when he gets upset in public and is loud, I am that person that is just like, we're out of here. Like, immediately, whatever's happening, I was like, you pay for dinner. And like, I'll just grab him.
And who are you pointing at that point? Who pays for dinner?
The waitress.
The dog.
Yeah, the waitress. I was like, you're paid for dinner. Whoever owns
dinner's
this place
you, lady.
Is paid for my dinner. So I get a lot of free dinners. But a friend did say to me, like, he's never going to have fun if you keep ripping him out of places when he's sad.
Oh, no. No, I think that's a good move to take him out. If he's freaking out, like, and you're just like, hey, when
maybe
you do
I'm
this,
too
we leave.
Sensitive
yeah, there's
to
a
it.
Consequence.
Yeah.
Right. You got a bad
closet.
Friend.
Sorry.
Sorry. I said an intense thing that broke it all down in the middle of it.
I know, I thought I did that.
I heard this intense thing. What did you say?
I already forgot.
Okay.
He said you got a bad friend. What did you say, Chuck?
That you put your child in a dark closet?
Okay.
Did I say that?
That's an option.
So that's what I'm judged for. Now, I think for us, the food bribes, which is what you should do, but it's sometimes, you know, just the easiest a way to get to where you need to be.
We do a lot of that.
We try not to, but boy, it's so tempting. You want 3 M&Ms?
Yeah.
It makes right now really easy.
Yeah.
It just makes all the other moments harder.
Yeah. Well, M&M is a bag full of bribes. Like, it's such a clever thing to use, it
well,
seems.
Well, she thinks they only come 3 at a time, so that's the good news. She's never seen a bag of M&Ms. That would be awful.
Yeah.
Do you hide the different colors? Does she not even know that red exists yet?
No. She thinks we're like, call the M&M guy. We're like, make 3 more.
That's the trick that grandparents don't understand. Because I do that too, where it's like, I sneak out like 2 pieces of candy. Right. You both get 1. And I'm like, I bought myself a lot of time. And my parents or other people come into town and they're like, here's a huge bag of candy.
They dump it on the table.
I throw away 98% of it. Because it's like they're equally excited about 2 pieces of chocolate.
Right.
Yeah. That's right.
They're like gremlins. They're going to find it. It's in the cabinets. They're climbing. They're getting
it. So we do the thing for, and I don't know if this is right or not. So if something is happening bad, we're like, we're going to take this away from you. Mm-hmm. Right?
Oh, yeah.
So but my friend was standing by who was a parent, and I was like, you don't get to watch Paw Patrol. And he was like, don't do that. You need that so you can get stuff done. I was like, I'm going to take away your blankie. He's like, that's super mean. It's his security. I was like,
what can I take from you? I mean, you can take it for a limited time.
You know what you can take away is their mom.
That's what
Beth does.
Your
love for them.
He's pretty used to that.
I have a very unfortunately, when my kids go to bed, Peter can put them to bed efficiently. And when it's me, they're like rabid dogs for my scent. And So I
smell your weakness.
I more than once I've done this thing where I close the door behind me and then I go hide somewhere and then they come out and I said to my kids.
Wait, this is when I'm not there.
This is when Peter's not home. I've said, well, when you come out of your room, mommy disappears. And I...
Wow.
Yeah, it's not...
That's amazing.
A good parenting move, but it works.
Or
it
they think
results.
You're a superhero.
Wait, you have to tell the story. Didn't you listen to Bryn talk to himself while he discovered you were gone?
Oh, yeah. I can't remember what he said, but he was like, mommy's gone. He's
like, oh, that would break my heart.
Yeah, that was a traumatizing, terrible thing. And you just sat there going, this is working.
Well, You try putting a kid to bed for like 2 hours straight and see what kind of ideas you come up with. You know?
Right.
So.
Yeah. The old days had cages, guys.
Yeah.
Dark closets and cages.
Yeah. I thought about putting a lock on the top of the door, but that seems like a fire hazard. So.
Based off this topic, this is a dumb question I'm going to ask. Have you discovered what your scolding face is? You know, and I'm
same as my orgasm.
I don't know which one is which context that would be scarier.
Serious therapy bills in the future.
I'm gonna make, you know what, let's do this. I'm gonna say 1, 2, 3, and Beth, you're gonna give me the your child just did something wrong and you gotta give a hey and the face that shuts it down. Okay? No words other than hey. Alright, ready? Okay, everyone. Close your eyes.
You guys act like you're being bad.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I'll say 1, 2, 3, go, and you'll open your eyes. Ready? 1, 2, 3, go.
Hey.
Pretty cool. Wow.
Wow, I'm still doing high whatever schooler. That thing
scary,
is.
Beth. That is not scary.
All right, we're going down the line. Chuck, it's your turn. All right, everyone, close your eyes. Ready?
Yeah, you'd be scary.
Ready? 1, 2, 3, boom.
Hey!
Whoa.
Just so not true.
Let's get some, like, get some aggression behind that one.
We all just look really lovable.
All right,
I'm more exasperated than angry usually. So. That's my face.
Come on, man.
All right, we're gonna keep it on the line because I started this. All right, close your eyes. Ready, Abby? Ready?
Yep.
1, 2, 3, go.
Hey.
Ooh. I was beside you, and that was a little.
Comes out.
It got real. Okay.
No more.
Fear, are you ready?
Yeah.
Close your eyes. 1, 2, 3, go.
Hey!
Wow.
All right, do I get to do it?
And then I bare my teeth like an animal.
It's primal.
All right,
it's primal.
Close your eyes. Ready?
1, 2, 3,
go.
Hey.
Wait a second.
Baby.
Whoa. Baby. Hey.
I'm Ilya Kani, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick.
I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ready for this, guys? We're going to play a little game. This is a brand new thing that we've never done, we've never tried, so we're going to see how it goes. Are you ready? This, what do we call it?
It's called Will You Know.
Okay,
Knows.
This is called Will You Know?
Will You Know?
Am I introducing
okay,
this?
Okay, so we're all, among us, I think we're all pretty new parents in the grand scheme of things. We have pretty young kids, and I think we'd all like to think we're through the worst of it. But we want to talk about some things that might scare you down the line.
In the future.
Yeah. So we're going to present these in the style of sort of an either or.
What are you more afraid of and why?
Yeah. So
clowns. Oh.
Totally.
So wait for the choices.
Chuck, I'll start with you. So what are you more afraid of in the future? The day your child starts applying to college or the day your child joins social media?
Well... clearly the second one. Yes.
Why?
Why? I mean, it's... Oh, geez. My God. I fear it like I fear not many other things because of real life stuff that would not be funny for this room.
Yeah.
You know, bullying and all that stuff. I just like, oh, my God. It's the worst. It was bad enough when I was a kid and we didn't have that constant thing going on. So, yeah, I fear that.
Sure.
That was the correct answer.
Yes.
Ding!
I fear college applications.
When is that supposed to start? I mean, Beth and I have not had
high school, right?
Social media or college applications?
Oh, well.
Social media. Oh, geez, I mean, in my mind, I keep saying, like, my kid's not going to touch a screen until they're 27.
Yeah.
How'd that go for you?
I've just been saying it to myself a lot.
Although, I mean, I kind of have that in my head too, or you know, whether I can control it or not. Yet I look at my nephew who is in grade 6, and social media is part of their classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I know. And they
how and so? And what?
There's a closed Facebook group that is a part of their classroom that they all upload stuff to.
It's
and
like Slack
yeah,
in
right.
a workplace, but it's for
right,
kids.
Exactly. And so, but to get there, they have to have an account.
Right.
And,
yeah, a profile photo.
Yikes.
Yeah. Well, just never leave your kids out of your sight and everything will be fine.
An inspirational quote.
No problem. All right, great. We're going to go to number 2. Abby, are you ready for this?
Let's do it.
What are you more afraid of? If you are afraid at all. The day you send your kid to sleepaway camp for the very first time. Or the moment you found out that they've started their own podcast. Topical.
The podcast thing is on par with if they ever join sports. I don't want to have to fake interest in something. The emotional energy it will take.
What's like the worst podcast topic they could have in your mind? Sports?
Yeah, right. Sports chat. Just I don't even know. I guess no, I wouldn't. It'd be interesting to see how her mind works, no matter what she's talking about. But if it was something Like, her dad's really into professional wrestling, and, you know, I go through the motions with that one a lot, so if she picked that up from him and it just went even deeper into that world, I think I'd be like,
that'd be amazing.
Yeah.
A young woman hosting a podcast.
Now
a wrestling podcast.
Yeah. Now I'm going to start
critiquing the representation the one. Of wrestling.
There is no way that doesn't exist.
right, you're right. But anyway, what was the first thing? Sleepaway Camp sounds cool to me. Like, I think that's cool. That should be fun.
Yeah, and you're like, get him away from me. Great.
I mean,
awesome.
Yeah. The separation. I would trust that she'd be all right.
What if it was sports camp, though?
No.
Do you know that I accidentally went to golf camp?
Accidentally?
There's no accident.
My friend Peter, my three best friends were all named Peter. It was weird. He goes, you want to go to hockey camp? I'm like, yeah, I'm a hockey player. Because all my friends were. And we said, all right, we're signing up for this thing. And I said, okay. And then he goes... Later, he's like, oh, you had to pick a backup, so I picked golf. You should do that. I'm like, okay. And he's like, oh, golf was full. Or hockey was full. We're just playing golf. So I got
I
got pretty good at golf in 2 weeks.
It's like hockey.
It's.
Yeah. I mean, you hold a stick of sorts.
I do both of them just as much now.
They've got some round pucks.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Yeah. That's golf, right?
Icing's okay.
The next year, I went to theater camp, and it was better.
Yeah. Okay, Ophira, what are you more afraid of, the day your child goes on a first date or the day they walk in on you having sex?
One of them is impossible because I'll be married for a long time by then.
Which one?
I think the good thing is your orgasm face just looks like you're mad at them.
I know. Yeah. They walk in, they're like, my mom's mad. Let's get out of here.
Mom and daddy are arguing.
Yeah, I'm out of here.
Like, she's really mad.
She's really mad.
I mean, you know, the dating thing, I would love it. I would love the day that my son goes on his first date. I have a terrible feeling that is going to be a cyber experience. I would love it to be an in real life experience. Wow. So because of that, if we're talking in real life, ding dong, we're going out on a date, I would love it. So then I would fear him walking in on us having sex, and then I'd be like... No. Mommy wears this hooded mask with a zipper only when she's happy.
This is Halloween prep, kids.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right. We have one more. You know what? I'm going to open this one up to the group, yeah? Because everyone got their questions right. So you're tied. You all have 1 point. I'm keeping
perfect
score.
Perfect parents.
Oh, good.
I can tell you.
Perfect all right, what parents.
That's what we should call the podcast.
Right?
Perfect parents.
That was the cutest noise I ever made in my life. What is scarier to you? The day you have to start teaching your child to drive. Oh God. Or the day your child is changing your diapers. Oh, sorry, got real. Oh, got a groan from the audience.
Yeah, I think my own mortality is scarier than I guess it's involved in both cases, right? If your kid's learning to drive, your life's at stake.
That's right.
Do you want to die fast or slow is the question.
I have a question for your question. Why would that be scary when your kid learns to drive? I would look forward to that.
Oh, I know that I'm going to be fucking terrible because I'm going to be... I'm
just worried?
Because you don't want them to...
Or that
get
you're
hurt?
Not, or you're not driving right.
I am a terrible backseat driver. Beth knows this.
So you're not driving right.
I'm not driving is the problem.
Yeah, you like to be in control.
Right.
Yeah. And I try real hard not to say anything. Beth just lets me drive always, and it is.
It's better than hearing him talk while I try to drive.
We have the same dynamic.
You're five over. You're going five over.
I'm just like, you probably want to give it a little more space.
But won't it be great when your kid can drive you to the airport?
Yeah,
I think about that a
chauffeur.
Lot.
Chauffeur.
You're going to be like, oh, Mom, why do you have to go to the airport?
My child having a license sounds great.
Yeah.
But teaching them to drive is, I'll just let you.
No one taught me to drive. I was not, my parents were like, no, you're going, just go to the school.
My dad did it like once with me, and then he got so mad that he kicked a dent into the dashboard.
What?
What
were you doing?
I was driving.
What caused that?
It was a roomy front seat.
I was coming off the highway, and I was going on the curved off ramp, and I guess he felt like I was taking the curve too fast.
Right,
right.
And were you? You know,
he kicked the dashboard.
So you know how you're trying to calm someone down when they're driving for the first time, and you kick the dashboard.
Sure.
Yeah.
I like how your dad processes fear. It's just involuntary.
Yeah,
kicks.
I mean, it definitely very easily could have released the airbags, and you know.
Luckily, the airbags didn't work.
I will tell you that I was trying to practice to get my license after my classes, and I borrowed my mother's car when she wasn't aware of it. I just took it out of the garage and went to practice parallel parking, and I went to parallel park. I was like, no, bad angle, and as I pulled out, I just took off the back end of another car, and then I freaked out, and I just drove it back to the garage and put it in the garage, put her keys back, and just like waited in my room.
Did they ever find out?
The next day, she didn't have to drive it that night, so the next day she came back from some errands, and she was like, I think someone hit and run me at the bank.
Yes.
And I was like, that's terrible. And, yep.
But amazing. You know banks.
Did you ever come clean about it?
Nope.
Oh, wow.
No, why would you? If
and
she
you know what I
out?
Learned? Nothing.
Yeah. Do
best,
what you want.
Yeah. Best lessons.
I took the car out once before I got my license, and you want to know why?
Why?
Because I really needed a haircut. And I took the car.
Peter was a really cool teen, FYI. Yeah.
I used to need haircuts.
Rebel with a cause.
Yeah.
Haircuts. With a very specific purpose.
Hockey, haircuts. What's going on?
That was pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Like, I got to go register.
I it.
You what?
Oh, dang.
Yeah, before I was 16, I wrecked it in my driveway.
In your driveway?
Yeah, I took...
You made it sober? 4 feet?
No, I was totally sober.
Oh, okay.
I didn't start drinking.
Kids are bad.
Were coming
driving.
Back into the driveway, or you just never left?
Yeah, I was like sort of driving too fast, and I sort of fishtailed in the driveway and hit a tree.
Woo! That's so frustrating.
Yeah.
I think we've answered this question in a way more frightening way.
I know.
All right, friends. You know what it's time for.
Dun,
we're going to jump straight into the greatest... thing we've ever created. The best segment of our show.
No.
I'm glad somebody else agrees, because I don't actually know if people like this, but I do.
She's thinking of a different segment.
It's time to play Would You Knows?
Okay, so this is a segment we do that has no practical application to parenting, but we enjoy it.
Yeah.
So this is where we give you guys a parenting hypothetical situation, and you tell us what you would do in that situation.
Now, you are totally welcome and encouraged to ask questions to clarify what the fuck it is we're talking about. That's half the fun.
I gotta say, as a big fan of your show, this is my favorite thing, and I have the same frustrations as Beth. I never understand what the fuck these are about. And you do a very poor job of clarifying that. And you're my old friend.
I'm intrigued.
I thought we were friends. Yes, we have this show because of you. And that's all I'll say. Thank you.
Oh, man. Okay. It's right. So fun, though.
All right, I'm going to let Beth read first because she's so good at it.
Okay, Chuck, I'll give this one to you.
Okay.
You find yourself transported to medieval times with your child.
Oh, no.
You, at a certain point, you've come to terms with the fact that you're in medieval times, and you've moved on. And you've decided to pretend that you're from that period in order to blend in.
So you don't get murdered.
You take your children...
I'm kind of there, by the way. I just need a little chainmail.
Okay. You take your kid to the St. Crispin's Day Harvest Festival.
Don't know what that is, but sure.
It's real big.
This is the plot of a Martin Lawrence film, by the way.
Yeah. It's fully made up.
Great.
They're calling all the children over to lick the dead boar. It's a tradition that they have where all the kids lick the dead boar.
Okay.
But you, as a parent from 2019, know that that's going to be Germ City. The boar has been sitting in the sun all day. Do you ruin the festival for everyone by not letting your kid lick the boar along with all the other kids? Or do you let your kid lick the boar?
Did listeners send these in?
No, we wrote
these.
You
made this? Oh, wow.
We wrote these last night. We've never been closer.
Was there weed involved?
I mean...
For half of us.
Well, I will say that my daughter... I don't know if all kids are like this, actually, but she licks a lot of things. She hasn't as much lately, but she went through a big licking phase of just licking things.
And sounds so funny.
I think all kids go through that, right?
Would she just hold it up and then just stick tongue out?
She still licks us when she, like, it's like, I'm the kitty cat.
No, my kids both licked me last night. So. Well,
both our kids licked Beth's face to a really uncomfortable level.
Well, Emily and I have different methods. Emily will just be like,
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I think if I just sit still and let her do it, like a she'll dog, just yeah. not want to do it again. So I'm like,
how does that work out?
Funny.
Enough. Well, it's fine. we generally let her lick things, but I think I would draw the line at a board that's been sitting in the sun all day.
This is a sacrilegious choice you're making by not licking
that.
The board.
It's St. Crispin's Day.
I understand that. I think I would ruin everyone's time and probably not let her lick the boar.
Okay, cool.
Would you go so far as to try to stop other kids from licking the boar? Because they're all going to, like...
Oh, no. And I would probably give up with Ruby, too. I would be just like, I'd be like, no, don't... And I'm like, oh,
yeah, you're like, oh, she already licked it once.
Yeah, I would probably put up... That's the real truth, is I would put up a big front. Like, I'm like, super dad, but then she'd be licking boar.
I think I'd let our kids lick the boar.
Yeah.
I'm not a big germs worrier. Maybe that's... I'm sorry.
I'm not either. No, she's...
Makes them stronger.
Yeah. Robust immune system.
What if it was frozen? I licked a frozen garbage can as a child, and whoa. My tongue stuck to it.
Whoa!
And then my mother had to... She poured a cup of coffee.
It's your first time tasting coffee and a garbage can.
That's when parenting was real.
That is great.
That's clever, though,
on her part. That's amazing.
I did that. Well, I was at an outdoor rink in Winnetka, Illinois. The scene in Home Alone where he slides under the guard's knees on the rink. That rink.
Cool.
I licked a bar. My tongue got stuck.
Because it looks tasty. It looks so pretty.
Yeah, there's icicles on
it.
Oh, gosh.
And my solution was to rip all the skin off my tongue.
No, Peter! Ha! Had you not seen A Christmas Story?
I had seen it.
Oh.
And then that's when I understood it.
The movie makes it look so good, though, you know?
If it was a frozen boar, I'd say lick away. It's fine, but it's been in the sun for a few days, I think.
St. Crispin's Day falls in October, so...
Oh, I see. Sorry. Right, so the harvest. I understand, yeah. Yes.
Okay, I'll read this since you're not ready.
I'm ready! It's my favorite thing!
It's like I'm witnessing you parenting.
Can you tell we have a good teamwork?
Here we go, everyone.
This is the shortest one. It's this thing... I came up with this one. It's real convoluted. Abby.
Yes.
You come home and your child reveals to you that they are a genius and they've built themselves a younger sibling. It's kind of a creepy Haley Joel Osment vibe from the movie AI.
Hated AI.
But you fully get the sense that it thinks it's alive.
Oh, no.
Also, it runs on 3 gallons of milk a week. Do you raise this robot child as your own, or do you get rid of it?
Yeah. This is so much deeper than I thought my question would be.
Better just
knowing
licking
me.
A boar.
I mean, I treat my other two dogs as if they're my kids as well. I use the terminology, and it's not even funny anymore. Like I still like refer to them as her brother. So I would probably adopt the robot.
The creepy robot child.
Yeah. Well,
what do you tell all your friends?
Oh, it leaves the house?
Well, that's the question. See, you got to get into it with these.
It's your son now.
Now, if you
you're
don't
right.
let it leave the house.
What kind of mom would I be if I didn't?
Your kid's going to be talking about it.
Oh, my gosh. That's so complex.
Yes, my brother.
Stop calling it first of all. That's...
Right, I know. I have to assign, a gender. golly, that's complicated. I guess since I couldn't bear to bring it into public because then it would border on like breaking societal norms, and then I'd have to have a talk with her. But if it's sentient, like, can it feel feelings or not?
Well, that's the thing.
It thinks it can.
It thinks it can.
And it's like this, like when you're like, are you real? It's like, I think so. I've known nothing else but like, this
wow.
world.
Yeah, I'd probably bring it in public and then write a whole book about it. It's like, it would be like my story, and then I'd try to make it a movie.
Because otherwise the robot kid's going to be like, what do you mean I can't trick or treat?
I know, looking out the window. Yeah, it's not quite human all over again.
A week. That's it.
I've made milk ice cubes as your candy. Yeah.
Can I eat the chicken? No. You only have milk import.
Or a milk cube. I like that idea. That's good.
Yep, well, actually, we haven't addressed the fact that your child is a genius.
Right.
How does that change things?
Yeah, I don't know. I hope she's not an evil genius. You know, I hope she uses it for good.
Yeah, jury's still out.
That's a tough one. Does she think she's God now that she's created life? I'm not sure.
I see dollar signs.
Okay.
All right.
Next question.
That was the correct answer.
That was...
All right. 100%. Love it as my own. Got it.
Okay, Ophira. One day, you wake up and everything is dark. Suddenly, you see a bright light and feel the sensation of being born. As the doctor pulls you from the womb, you see yourself giving birth to you. And you realize that you have John Malkovich into your child on the day they're born. Now that you're in your kid's body, watching yourself parent you, and you have lived all of these moments before from your original perspective, do you try to alter your own life events as the parent for the better? For example, by saying...
Wait, we need a pause.
Yeah, is she still the parent?
Oh, yeah. Beth was seriously smoking weed last night.
Oh. No, this one was Peter.
This is 100% Peter. Mine.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Well, no wonder it doesn't make sense.
Go ahead, ask the questions you have.
Let me just get this straight. All right. So one day I wake up in darkness. So far, feels like my own life. But there's a bright light because I'm being born.
Yeah, you are being born out of your own body.
I'm being born out of me. It's like the ultimate, this is the ultimate narcissism. Okay, right. Yeah. So I'm being born out of me. And then what happens next?
You are in your child's body as they're being born from you.
I am, my head is in my child's body watching me as me.
Yeah, it feels like you've never seen the movie Being John Malkovich.
I do remember it, but you know, I did see it, but
it was a long time ago.
I remember Catherine Keener and... How I Wanted to Be Catherine Keener and that what, part's nine and a half floor, 11 and a half, whatever it was.
Well,
yes.
We all love Catherine Keener.
Okay, great. Sure. So then blah, blah, blah. Yes, so I am viewing me. And would I then, with this amazing knowledge, try to alter my life?
As the parent. As the child, say things to the parent who is formerly yourself.
This is such a Peter scenario. Yep.
Okay.
My God.
Oh, she's not her parent shell anymore. She's not in the parent vessel.
You're not in the parent body anymore.
You've gone back in time. So you've done all this before from your perspective.
Yeah, and now I'm witnessing it.
Yeah, and so you know too much as a child.
So the true question is, can I make myself better?
Yeah.
Is that the real question?
Or do you even try?
But I'm as a baby, so first I have to go through all the stages where I can't talk and I can't communicate and I'm just spitting up all the time and I'm like obviously ruining my parents' lives. Like I have to go through all that.
Yeah. Yeah. So once you live all that and you're a talking child.
This is the longest fucking problem of all time.
Welcome to We Know's Parenting.
It takes years.
All right, so also got to get through the point where you need to explain to yourself that you've lived their life already? Do you even bother?
This is so on brand, guys.
So, well, I imagine there would be a few phases. Like, first, you wouldn't bother because you would just be like, wow, like you would just be checking it out. And then you would just be using it like, I'm going to say what you're going to say before you say it and freak you out, right? Then it would just be a lot of gags, a lot of like freaking them out, a lot of pranks.
Yeah, I like where you're taking this. That's good.
Pranks.
right? And then you would get bored with that, and then you would try to probably do evil things. You'd be like, all right, well, I'm like the kid, and I know how useless you people are. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm going to eat all the chocolate cake, and I know where the keys are, and I'm going to, like, leave the house, and I'm going to, like, ruin things, and I'm going to walk on stage during mommy's act while she's bombing, and all that kind of stuff.
You've turned this into a much more fun movie than being John Malkovich.
And then you would probably go to the next stage where you're like, that's not great.
Well, I have a question for that. Like, when you're seeing Ophira bomb and you remember how bad it felt.
Yeah.
So you interrupt it before it can get worse.
Right.
Do you give yourself a pep talk? Do you give, like, once you're a kid that can give advice to try to, like, make Ophira the mom feel better?
I think, no, as the kid, you're like, I'm an adorable kid. I'm just going to get all the laughs, make her feel worse.
So, you're going to steal your own act. You're
going to
let you get worse and do your act as a four-year-old.
Right. You fully emotionally detached from your former life as Ophira.
I very quickly just was like, yeah, get that
you're
chick
like,
out of here.
Fuck Ophira. I'm her kid now.
Yeah. Right. I guess that's the truth. I would use all of that knowledge to just create a better life for Ophira the child.
Yeah. Well, be here now, people, you know.
Wow. That went better than I could have possibly hoped.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes. I guess identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune into what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now we're going to take some questions from you guys in the audience. I hope you have something for us.
We also got some emails, so we'll go to that if we have to. But anyone in the audience.
I see a hand.
Oh my gosh. Participation. So I'm going to make you stand up. I'll come down here. You know what? Into the mic and let us know what you have. Hi, what's your name?
I'm Sarah, and my daughter Elizabeth and I have written to you.
Oh my gosh! Cool. Yes, more than once!
Yay, hi. Sarah!
Hi, hi. I'm in New York for work this week, so.
Oh my gosh, you don't even live here. Where do you
live? I live in Atlanta.
Wow.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
So.
Incredible.
Did you follow me? Stone Mountain, I guess.
Oh, okay. I grew up in Stone Mountain.
Yeah, yeah. We live in Smoke Rise.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Well, that's where my in-laws live. Oh. We should get together soon.
Yes, we should.
How about right now? That's where we're doing it now.
So, actually, Elizabeth knew I was coming to see you, and she had a question for you.
We've taken more mail from Elizabeth than maybe anybody else, except maybe you. No. Great. What is Elizabeth? Your question.
So Elizabeth's question for you is, has doing this podcast answered all your parenting questions?
Ooh, wow. 7 years old. She has 10. Wait. She sent us the Pokemon question, right?
Oh.
We got more listener mail. So Beth listed all the Pokemon that she could think of, and she listed one of them as Charlemagne.
Yeah.
And we got more emails from people eager to explain to us Pokemon.
Yeah, a lot of response to the Pokemon content.
You were just making up names, though, right? Or were any of those real? Because I know nothing about Pokemon just laughed, thinking, Beth's so good at making up funny names.
It was Tic Tac and Zipwhip and Charlemagne.
I don't Pokemon, remember right? what I said, but I think they were made up.
Check it out. It's a good episode. What was the question? Have we figured it all out?
Have we learned everything?
Have we learned everything?
About parenting.
What do you guys think?
Based on what we've told you so far about our parenting style, we figured it out, right?
Yeah. I think you trust your gut, it seems. You got your things you do.
I will say that, obviously, I have learned a ton, and it's mostly from people like you guys who share things with us. Because this idea, like Beth had this idea, she ran into Chuck and we were talking about things. She's like, what about a parenting podcast? And she told me, I was like, why would I want to do that? What? And then we started doing it and I was like, oh, there's things to know about this. Yeah. And I was a pretty stereotypical dumb dad who's like, I don't need people telling me what to do, but I'll tell them what I'm doing. And I've learned a lot.
Yeah, you've learned a lot. You're like, oh, there's stuff to read about parenting? Oh.
No, we have learned.
What I enjoy is that we've gotten listener mail from people in other countries that really has opened my eyes to some different parenting styles. And
we have a lot of great Australian listeners.
Yeah.
But you guys are our favorites.
Okay, we have another question
over here.
Great,
here's a question over here. Yeah. Hi, what's your name?
Rehim.
Where are you from?
Egypt.
Amazing!
Cool. Speaking of other countries.
Perfectly timed. What is your question?
So, given that we're immigrant parents, he's from Germany, I find that American parents tend to use very little scolding. And my question, which is very different once you land outside JFK, everybody's scolding. And my question is it really all the time that you don't scold, or do you do it behind closed doors?
Ooh! Ooh!
She wants the real
question.
That's a good question.
Boy. Well, I think I'll open this up to the group, but I will say I feel like there's probably a big difference between Brooklyn and many other places.
Probably.
But anyone have thoughts on that?
Right. My daughter's very young. I'm not above discipline and stern voice and telling her why you're not supposed to do something. So when you say scold, if you mean showing displeasure and also having consequences to bad behavior, then yes. But if it's like insulting the kid or raising my voice, like being as angry with an adult, with a kid as I would an adult, I wouldn't do that behind closed doors or in public. Like, that's what I'm working on not doing.
Yeah.
I don't want to fly off the handle, as they say.
I try to avoid like a big public confrontation if I can, which is sometimes unavoidable. But I do kind of understand what you're saying, because I think like parenting is not as big a part of American culture as it used to be. And so people don't want to see you parent your kid, and then you feel guilty about having those moments in public, especially here in New York, where, I don't know, there's like fewer parents, there's no kid-friendly places. I do think you feel less comfortable having those moments.
I mean, I see kids get disciplined on the subway all the time, you know, like sit in your seat or I'm going to, you know, there's like a consequence or something.
Don't man spread.
I'm going to tell you again. Stand clear of the closing doors.
Yeah, I found, I mean, there's the, it's, I've had much more success in redirecting the energy than that, like, let me show you that I'm dominating. Like, the more I'm like, hey, and like, the more emotion I show, the more, one, they'll be scared, but the more times I do it, the less effective it is each time.
Right.
So I save those.
So you have to keep upping the ante.
Right.
Yeah.
That's true. I save those for your running to the street.
Yeah.
And I scream and scare you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And now I just realize how good my dad was at being scary, because he would always just do the, hey.
Whoa.
Yeah, and you were like, ooh.
But even that, I just projected too much, like, I think I'm badass. He would, there was none, and he'd just go, come here. And then I'd walk, and then he'd just go, is that a good idea? He goes, are you going to do that again? He goes, what do you think I should do? And then I'd punish myself.
Yikes. He was about psychological.
But he was also
discipline.
Gone all week, and he could come in at the last minute, and like, whereas my mom was with four boys all week, and so she'd be like, Jack! And we're like, we're not afraid of you because we know you're not going to do anything. And I remember my mom grabbing me by the arms and going, go to your room. And she started pulling me. And I realized in this moment, oh, my God, I'm stronger than my mom. And it was a heartbreaking moment.
Oh,
and I remember letting her win. I was like, ah. And then she put me in a room, closed the door. And then I just sat on the bed looking at my hands.
You know, Robot Child will not know those things.
No.
You're screwed.
Yeah, this is tough. Point.
You were the John Malkovich baby in that scenario. You were watching your mother parent. You had an out-of-body experience watching your mother parent.
It was a real moment of, oh, of.
Yeah.
More How time. Old were you when you were stronger than your mother?
Like 10, 11. My dad's 6. Well, that's not interesting. It's always a shot. I remember I beat my dad in arm wrestling and had a similar thing of like, oh no, I'm going to die. Like, we're all like aging. Things change. That got dark. Who else has a question? Yes, right here. Hi, what's your name?
My name's Kelly.
Hi, Kelly. Where are you from?
Brooklyn.
Wow. Not surprising. Egypt was more surprising. What's your question?
This is a would you knows.
Oh, yeah, we're going back a segment, but I'll take it. Yeah, we've no rules here.
All right, 10 years from now, your older kid is... They're both in middle school, and your older kid gets... You get a call because the kid beat the crap out of another kid.
Oh no!
He really, really beat him up.
Ew!
And on the way home from the principal's office, he says, I beat that kid up because he, you know, dumped my sister. Or he was mean to my sister.
Ah.
Oh, curveball.
Wow.
Do you punish him?
Whew.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, I punish.
Yeah, I think you still punish.
Yes. You can't give any amount of like, but you did it for a good reason. I might think that and feel that, but no.
Right, you punish the child, but then when they're in their room grounded, you high five with the
celebrate privately.
No,
I would
sister.
Say you can empathize and say, my approach, I think, would be like, wow, I see why you did that, but also here's why you can't
really
do that.
I bet that felt really good to kick that kid out.
Right.
I get it. I
On
really
behalf of your robot
it.
Sibling.
That's right.
No one dumps our robot kid.
I can't picture Bryn getting in a real fight ever.
I think he's starting to get in those altercations, but he's like weirdly submissive. Given he's been telling us this week that his friend said he's not smart, and he's like, I'm not smart. And we're like, no, you like.
I got so angry. That was the one thing I was like, who said that? Like,
beat that kid up, son. Like,
and I had the impulse to be like, your friend's not smart. And I was like, he doesn't even know math. But I just thought all those things.
You're so smart.
But I was like, you're smart. And then he was just arguing because he likes to argue. And he's like, no, I'm not. I'm not smart. And I was like, don't take the bait.
Anyway.
No, violence is not okay. What else? I saw another hand. Yes. Hi. What's your name?
Ellie.
Hi. Where are you from?
New York.
I don't know why I'm asking that. I was actually really surprised we got an answer that wasn't New York. I'm going to keep asking. What's your question?
So one of the things I really love about the podcast is that it's just as much an exploration of your communication in your partnership as much as it is about parenting.
And the fights. Sorry.
And those.
Communication, yeah.
Yes. And something that I've thought a lot about as I've listened is sometimes there's this dynamic of exploring a more spiritual side to things and then also a less spiritual side to things. And I think sometimes femininity is associated more with that spiritual side and then masculinity can be associated with the more... Anyway, I'm talking about this because I think sometimes when I listen, I find my personal views more aligning with Peter's perspective, and then my husband, who's right here, his views tend to be more aligned with that more spiritual or theological piece. And I don't know, sometimes I find myself grappling with, is this about women and men or femininity and masculinity, or is it just about different perspectives and ways of engaging? And I don't necessarily have a clear answer, but I've definitely been thinking a lot about that when I listen to the podcast. So what are your thoughts on that?
Deep. Oh, boy.
That's
yeah.
Amazing.
So, yeah, if you don't know, Beth and I have had some epic fights that have ruined nights and episodes.
No, but our listeners love it. They love it.
They didn't ruin episodes, my friend. is gold.
That's an interesting question. I mean, I think you just kind of laid it out, which is that spirituality is not always a feminine trait. I think sometimes on the podcast we talk about that stuff in broad strokes that I think we know does not apply to everyone, but when some certain things tend to feel more feminine, I bring that up in order to illustrate the point of sort of why it gets downplayed as a more feminine seeming thing.
I agree with her.
Do you have a specific? Because I'm wondering what this even is
about.
Well,
we have a lot of debates on the podcast because I believe in like past lives and psychics and different things that people like Peter think are cuckoo.
And Peter needs the data on that.
Well, I'm always like, yeah, that's great, cool. I totally accept that you're different, but let's get into it. And then we get into a big fight.
He's like, well, you can believe that, but it would be wrong. yeah.
And I've shied away from that. But I think it has also, you're totally right that it has intertwined itself also with some stereotypical gender dynamics in terms of communication styles. But I don't think it's all, obviously... Women are all intuitive and they believe in spirituality and men are logical.
But I'm curious with you guys what your if you've had experiences with this in your relationship or parenting or
are you on the same page or different pages?
Yeah, that just sounds like whatever. It sounds like I don't think that has been our specific issue, but we see opposite sides of things a lot. So yeah, discipline, how to feed. I mean, just. Sleeping, just like a lot of things that you can approach them like
for sleeping and you don't need it.
He said to me last night, I don't know how you're able to do what you do on such little sleep, and I don't know either. I'm sure I'll crash and burn at some point, but so far so good.
Well, some people need less sleep than others. It's like it's a scientific thing.
It's science. Oh, now you get to use science.
I was waiting for that.
Hi, what's your name?
Suzanne,
where are you from?
Flushing.
Oh, great.
Queens.
That's a little bit different. Great. What's your question?
So, Peter, you're known for interrupting Beth a bit.
What? Sorry, I interrupted you.
And as an improviser, like the core of improv is to listen.
Okay.
Have you ever considered
Beth hired Suzanne.
Taking an improv class?
No, just looking at your relationship as an improv scene when you're in a difficult moment.
Yes.
And yes, and. no, it's no but, right?
It's wow. No, but how about this?
What a great question. Suzanne.
I'm going to let you answer this first.
Wait, so the question is...
Have I considered...
Here we go.
Sorry, the question is, has he considered... What?
Treating our relationship as an improv scene.
I can't answer that for you.
Okay. It's tough because this is a question for me. Well, if you've ever come to see Trike Saturday nights at the Magnet Theater, 9 o'clock, you'll know that I do a two-man show for an hour. And so instead of learning to listen, I've just created so much space that I can't possibly talk the whole time. And so I don't have to fix that problem. So it has remained. And so I get listeners writing in to tell me that I'm not listening. And then I feel shame.
I think Peter has thought about this as an improv scene because I think one of us has brought this up, that it defies the logic of improv to be interrupting. And yes, I think I have explained, because I think we've had similar arguments to what you just described with the hand washing, mm-hmm. where I have told him, you know, I'm trying to get this thing done, and then you come in at the last second and know me, and that's not an efficient way to accomplish things if you just come out of nowhere and are always trying to correct me. Like, you have to yes and me sometimes if mm-hmm. I'm trying to get something done so that it can be gotten done. And so, yes, I think we've talked about this.
I know that the thing that makes me a really good improviser is also my big weakness, which is I live real close to my impulses, which is the second I'm in a thing and you make a shape, I'm like, oh, I'll tell you what that looks like. You're a cowboy. This is great. We're here. That's fine. Yeah. Yes, and whatever you said, oh, that's awesome. And this and this and this. And that's what makes me good at improv, but it's also my weakness is that I get nervous and the blinders go up and I'm like, I'll do it all myself. Blah, 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 blah. That's why I can't do an improv with more than one person. This is a real victory. I haven't talked over all of you the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, you are aware of it. And I said before the show, as we were on our way here, I said, I'm just going to say this out loud, Peter. When we do the show and we've prepared all these questions, I get to ask some of them. And I get to also run this podcast that I co-host.
What did I say?
And you said, I've been telling myself that.
I said I've like, been telling myself that all day. Great, we have one more question before we wrap this up. Hi, what's your name?
I'm Dawn QB, and I'm from Connecticut.
Wow, yeah, we're opening it up. Woo. What is your question?
So it's more of a challenge than a question.
Wow, okay, I like
it. Yes. So I am an OG fan of Stuff You Should Know. Yes.
Woo.
And I have not listened to your podcast yet.
Mine? You came to this taping and you didn't know what it was? Bold. Oh, you came to see Chuck. I assumed that would be everybody, but yes.
I came to see Chuck, but today, and I haven't heard it yet because I've been in Brooklyn all day, today, Stuff You Should Know did a birth order podcast.
I saw that. I haven't listened yet.
And I think you guys should listen to it and then talk about it on your show.
Ooh. That is a challenge. Do we accept it?
Birth order is interesting, you know? Because some people, it's like, oh, it's totally a thing. And some people say, like, it's not a thing at all.
What was the conclusion of the podcast?
Well, no, there is no conclusion. Oh, okay. I mean, I think it's totally a thing because I'm the youngest of three. And you can clearly see sort of, you know, things that are true to the science of it. But
well, isn't that circumstantial? If you have someone above you that's doing, listen to the podcast.
Go. Well, no, but I mean, that's sort of the thing. It's like, is it just self-fulfilling right. or is like there science to it? Or are we all just, you know... Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I'll tell you, I was big time nurturer for a long time, and I was like, I'm three of four boys, that explains me, I needed to get attention, blah, blah, blah. But since I've had kids, in my mind I'm like, that kid was that kid from the second that kid was that kid.
There's a lot
and
of
I was like, very little of what I've done. You watch videos of Bryn when he's one, just like blah, blah, blah. He's exactly the same, he just has words now.
Yeah.
I'm the youngest of six, and I meet so many people. Wow. But there's a whole youngest thing. I mean, there's like an oldest thing. There's a middle child thing, obviously. But there's not a lot written about, you know, the fourth or whatever. So it is like these very strong benchmarks, right? It's like the middle child. It's based on also usually groups of three, which I just think is like weird. It all that speaks to me about like how families run. But what I have to say about the youngest is that you do have the smallest voice.
But don't you get left alone to like cause
There's
havoc
a lot
in a
of
fun
that
way?
Too. Like parents are sort of overparenting by that point a lot of times.
Oh yeah, right.
So you just get more leeway.
Right. And, my parents were way older and so they were tired. So this is how I dealt with it with my son who will be an only. I had him old, so he'll always feel like the youngest child.
Fantastic.
Works nicely.
And with that, that's going to wrap up Listeners Wanna Knows.
our show. Thank you so much for coming out. This has been fantastic. Let's give a big, huge hand to our special guest, Ophira Eisenberg, Abby Crutchfield, and Chuck Bryant. Oh, my gosh. Listen to the podcast. Like, subscribe. You know all the deals.
Yeah, find us on social media.
All right. Thank you so much. Good night.
Are coming back to Atlanta right now. Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything, that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these moments. Their stories are full of candor and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
Well, how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.